We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching, and we believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
Milepost 2. Anybody, seriously, I want to ask a question now. Has anybody really felt like that as we've been teaching this series, seriously, as you've thought about this series and you've been in work and at life, doing life, where that thought of going the extra mile with people has hit home for you? Anybody? Good, because I really felt like it was a word from God for us as a church to be those extra mile kind of people. Well, let's start with my key scripture that I started the whole series with, and I heard Josh Kelly crushed it last Sunday morning on going the extra mile with people. I love our team. I got to tell you, I love our team. I was in Wave Los Angeles last week and had a great time with Israel and Rachel Campbell. And then, of course, went down to Orange County and went down to a few other different places that we're looking at. Maybe some future Wave Church campuses. We'll keep you posted. Matthew 5, verse 41. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them. How far? 2 miles. So the thought is, as we kicked off this series, that we've got to be people who are extra mile kind of people. The understanding of that scripture in its context is that Jesus is not a pacifist. That actually, you heard it said, he goes, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. In the Old Testament, if someone plucks your eye out, your means of revenge had to be restrained to the measure in which they did it to you. That's Old Testament. You with me here? In other words, you don't rip their arm off if they, you know, and their arm and leg off if they just broke your nose. That was Old Testament revenge. Some of you haven't even thought that much through, right? Okay, but in the New Testament, Jesus takes it and he says, listen, if someone actually forces you to go a mile, and the context of that is a Roman soldier would have been allowed to do that, and you carry my backpack, and don't just do what's asked of you or frankly what's expected of you, go the extra mile. But even within that context, Jesus talks about turning the other cheek, and he actually talks about there's still a measurement, if you like, a boundary, a limitation, even within that context of how far you'll go. But be the extra mile kind of people. That's the thought of it. You got it? So that's with people. And I want to talk to you about today is going the extra mile in life. And actually, I remember Sharon and I, several years ago, we were in China. And so I said, Sharon, let's go climb the Great Wall of China. Let's do a section of it. And we didn't realize that we chose the hardest section with the steepest climbs. And so we wanted to make it to the top, to whatever the precipice was or the summit of that particular piece of the wall. And so we launched out. We were excited. The Great Wall of China, you can see it from space, the only human-made thing that you can see from space. And so we're walking, and then we were walking, and then all of a sudden this thing just got harder and harder and steeper and steeper. And those steps, man, I'm telling you, they're not very big. And so it is a calf workout, it is a hamstring workout, my thighs. And about 3/4 of the way up, I just went, we're not going to make it. I thought I was going to have a heart attack. My heart's pounding out of my chest. My legs are completely crashed. I mean, I looked at Sharon, she looked at me, and I went, we're going to make it to the top. We got to get there because we set that as our goal. And the only way we ever made it was this. I said, Sharon, here's what we'll do. We'll just climb 10 steps until we're exhausted again. And it was 10 steps before we're exhausted again. We'll get our breath back and rest. Then we'll climb 10 more. And we must have done that for the last, I don't know, 40 minutes of the actual climb to the top. And we finally made it to the top. And I just want to talk to you this morning about this thought about going the extra mile in life. Look at Proverbs 24, verse 10. If you falter in the time of trouble, how small is your strength? Now, I don't believe that this verse is written to shame you, that if you actually, you know, falter in a time of trouble, that you're a weakling. I believe this verse is meant to try and help you and I realize that actually we got to get tougher. That actually that in that moment, God is saying to you, come on, I've got bigger things for you. And this is just revealing where your strength is at. And so hardship, listen to this, adversity introduces you to yourself. You find out what you really are in a moment of adversity. So here's the thought, don't throw in the towel. It seems to me that God is more concerned with how easy we lose heart and give up than how strong we are and how much we're able to endure. That actually we give up too quick. God is not concerned that we're too tough, but we're not tough enough. And I want to talk to you about not just going the extra mile with people and not just going the extra mile in your marriage, but actually learning how to go the extra mile in life. Proverbs 24, verse 16. It says, though a righteous man falls seven times, he will rise again. The wicked stumble into calamity. For though a righteous man, watch this, falls seven times, he will rise again. And I want to talk to you and I this morning about going the extra mile in life. And so let me give you what I would consider my key verse this morning, and we're going to turn to it in just a moment, but let me just maybe give an example. Though a righteous man falls seven times, God wants you to get back up. He wants you. Though a righteous man falls seven times, he will rise again. I remember when Josh was much younger, he was probably just 5 or 6 years of age, and he was first starting to play soccer. And Josh was more interested in how he looked than actually playing soccer. And so he would make sure, remember this, Sharon, he would make sure that the bows on his shoelaces were in a certain direction, like north to south. They couldn't be east to west. And he would be on the soccer field, and if he noticed they were facing the wrong way, the ball could be kicked to him. It didn't matter. He just bent down. And then his socks had to be the same height on both legs, the exact same height. And again, there's a game going on, but Josh is going, wait a minute, I got to put that sock up. And then he got interested in this concept called scoring a goal. And then he got really, really competitive. He's so like his mother, it's embarrassing. And so I'll never forget, as he began to play and really go after the ball and not worry about how he looked. And then what would happen was, the look of how he came off, if someone got the ball off him, Josh would do something that I think is intuitive to every soccer player. They learn how to fall down and make it look like it was the other guy's fault. I actually think there are acting classes for this part of soccer. And so Josh, if he'd lose the ball, so to make it look like, you know, he was fouled, he would just fall over. And sometimes he was knocked down, but other times he'd just fall over because, how embarrassing, I lost the ball. So I used to say to Josh, you got to get back up and you got to get the ball back. If someone knocks you down, you get back up again. If someone knocks you down, you get back up again. And then literally, as I'm having this conversation with Josh in the car on the way home, the song on the radio, I get knocked down, but I get up again, began to play. And it became a bit of a song on the way to every soccer game. Josh, what happens if someone gets the ball? I'm going to get it back. What happens if you get knocked down? And you go, I'm going to get back up again. And literally, it was ingrained to him. Is it true? And then years and years later, he's playing as a freshman in his first ever varsity soccer game at First Colonial High School. First game of the whole season. Josh is in as a freshman, which is rare. And he goes in, he goes after the ball to head the ball, but the other player kind of ducked. And then Josh went over that player's back, and then the player stood up, and it sent Josh flying into the air. And then he lands on his wrist, but his whole wrist broke off his arm. And he literally stood up, because when you get knocked down, and he looked and his hand is detached from his arm, just dangling. But something in him thought, get the ball. So he started running after the ball and his hands just flopping off his arm. And then he looked and then he just passed out right there on the soccer field. And I'll never forget, because someone said, hey, your son's hurt. I said, he's not hurt. He'll get back up. And when he didn't get back up, I knew he was hurt. I go down onto the field, and this is literally what Josh said. He was mad. And I said, and he's crying out of frustration. And I said, man, what are you mad about? He goes, I'm mad because I can't keep playing. That's my boy. Praise the Lord. Let me give you my scripture for this morning. James chapter 1, verse 2 and verse 4. Watch this. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith will produce perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So the Bible tells us, James, the half-brother of Jesus, is telling us that we are, when we go through various trials of many kinds, not just one or two, various, of many kinds, various trials of many kinds, that you and I are to consider it pure joy. I wonder how many people have actually honestly done that. Lord, I'm facing yet another trial, and this one's a tough one, but I'm going to take the time right now to say, thank you, Lord. This is a joyful moment. Because that's what he's saying. You can't say that unless you understand what else he's saying. He says, consider it pure joy. He says, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that this is actually the testing of your faith that is going to produce perseverance. So I want to give you a few thoughts on this very quickly. Number one, God wants you and I to have the right attitude in hard times. We're talking about this morning going the extra mile in life. I think too many people give up too quickly. I think they give up on their job, they give up on their kids, they give up on themselves, they give up on their health, they give up on their marriage, they give up on their church, they give up on themselves. Can I just say, I believe God is speaking to you and I about going the extra mile in life. And if we're going to be extra mile people, then we've got to understand that God wants us to have the right attitude in hard times. Count it pure joy. Amen. There must be room in your thinking and in your theology for storms. There's got to be an understanding. In Matthew chapter 7, it talks about the wise man that built his house upon the rock. And when the winds came, when the storm came, after it had all been and gone, the house was still standing. And then it talks about the man who built his house on the sand. And after the storm and the winds came, the house was demolished. That's talking to you and me about where and how do we build our life. And it's not just talking about building your life on a firm foundation, but it's this. It's talking about building your life with an awareness that storms will come. And you've got to build your life with the reality you will face adversity, but when the storm has had its day, you're still standing because you built your life with an awareness that storms will come in Jesus' name. Number two, here's the second thought I want to give you on this verse. God will test your faith. It says, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Amen. God will test your faith. Amen. It might be in a health situation. It might be in a setback. It might be in your marriage. There is a testing of your faith. God tested Abraham. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 22, verse 12, that actually God said to Abraham, give me your son. And God promised him he'd be the father of many nations. And Isaac was the means in which that was going to happen. And now God says, don't just give him to me, but sacrifice him to me. Kill him. And Abraham, the Bible says, took his son and went up to a place and built an altar and pulled back a knife and was ready to plunge this knife into his son when an angel came and stopped him. And listen to what the angel said. Now, says the Lord, that I know that you fear me because you would not withhold your son, your only son. Can I tell you, I believe God tests our faith. He does it to actually strengthen us. He does it to prove us. You don't want to drive something that hasn't been tested for the conditions. Like I did yesterday. I have a KLR 650 dirt bike that's an on-road, off-road dirt bike. I had on-road, off-road tires. And I was riding a section of miles of road that were only off-road tires that you would ever survive that task. The guys in front of me are riding no problem at all. Little knobby tires, 250 motorcycles, and they're zipping through it. Me, I'm sliding because I've got no traction. And I got to tell you, I fell over 20 times. And I'm thinking about this message I'm preaching on perseverance. At one point when I was literally, the bike was on top of me, underwater. I was laughing so hard, I didn't have the strength to pick it up. And I realized right then and there's a reason why they say we have tested these tires. And the tires that I was riding on was only good for on-road, off-road, but not just good for pure off-road. And God tests us so that we're going to make it. You have, your pastor has learned a valuable lesson. It's not that I'm 56, I had the wrong equipment. Praise the Lord. Amen. God will test your faith. You want something that tested and proven in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you want me to undo another button, darling? No, okay. Okay, number three, God wants to build toughness in us. It says, because you know, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. Why? Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. The word perseverance means this. Listen to it carefully. Doing something despite the difficulty or the delay in achieving success. The Bible says, for you know, God wants to build toughness and God wants to build, what is it? He says, the testing of your faith produces perseverance. The word perseverance means this, that you are able to persevere, listen to this, in something despite of the difficulty in Jesus' name or the delay in achieving success. If I've learned anything in my life, I've learned how to persevere. No matter how difficult it is, no matter how much delay it may seem, I am going to hang in there in Jesus' name. Amen. God wants us to be tough. Here's what I'll give you. Number four, the fourth thought is God wants you and I to finish well. It says, let perseverance, watch, finish its work so that you may be mature, complete, and not lacking anything. Let perseverance, look at it, finish its work. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. Number five, the Bible says here that God wants us mature, complete, and not lacking in anything. It says here that this perseverance, when it's finished its work, brings about a maturity, a completion. There's a sense in which you are not lacking, that you are up for the storm. You are up for the trial. You are ready and you're not going to delay. You're not going to dinner. You're not going to back down. You're going to keep on going in Jesus' name. If I want to be saved, that there's any strength in my life, I believe I can speak on this strength. I believe with all my heart that God wants you and I to learn what it is to actually go the extra mile in life. I believe with all my heart, I see too many Christians give up on life, give up on God, give up on their faith, give up on their marriage, give up on their health, and give up on so many different areas. And I just believe, when was the last time you thought about, I'm going to go the extra mile? I'm going to consider it pure joy. I know that this is going to build perseverance. It's going to prove my faith. And I'm going to come out in a good way, better, stronger, wiser. Amen. Bring it on. Now, we don't go looking for things. We don't create trials. Life will do that all by itself. So I actually have a few verses I live by on this thought about perseverance. Do you want to hear them? These are my life verses about learning how to go the extra mile. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 38. But my righteous one will live by faith. I take no pleasure in the one who's shrinking back. We do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to them who have faith and are saved. I want to tell you, you're looking at somebody who at many times, maybe it's two steps forwards and maybe it's one step back. But one thing I know what the Word of God says when it comes to perseverance and going the extra mile, I am not going to draw back in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to shrink back. If God is in it, then I'm going to keep on going. Come hell or high water, that's a verse I live my life by. The second verse I think is even more powerful. Ephesians 6 verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the armor of God so that when the day of evil, watch, comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. You're able to sing better than Elton John. I'm still standing better than I ever have. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let me tell you what brings out perseverance. Let me tell you what brings out the extra mile of me. When I realize it is the enemy behind it, there's a fight that comes up on the inside of me and says, not today, devil. Ah, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. When I realize that this is not a flesh and blood thing, this is not a personality conflict, but this is spiritual, something rises up inside of me. I'm going to go the extra mile. I'm not going to give the devil the satisfaction of me losing heart and shrinking back. I'm going to count it pure joy, and this is going to make me stronger in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the underwhelming response. Number three, third verse that I believe is really powerful is Galatians 6 and verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, or let us not grow weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Can I tell you what helps me go the extra mile in life? Sometimes it's just my eyes on the harvest. And I understand that my harvest will come if I refuse to grow weary. That if actually I just refuse to allow, the Bible says, become weary. Do you know, it's one thing to be stabbed once in the chest with a knife. And let me tell you something, that could be fatal. It's another thing, you can also die from 1,000 paper cuts. Are you hearing me? And actually, that's what the Bible talks about in this thought. Don't become weary. Life can just wear you down. One of the things I've learned to do when I think about going the extra mile and having perseverance in life is to just have this determination, I will not grow weary, for I see my harvest in Jesus' name, and I will get to the harvest as long as I don't give up. If I get knocked down, I'm getting back up again. And if I get knocked down, I'm getting back up again. And the harder you throw me down, the higher I'm gonna bounce back in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody, give God some praise if you receive it. Number four, Psalm 37, verse 24. I love this one. Though he fall, he shall not be cast down. For the Lord upholds him with his hands. Look at it now. Listen. Though he fall, he shall not be cast down. For the Lord upholds him with his hands. We've got to have room, not just for storms in our understanding of life, but we've got to have room in a life that don't understand sometimes we will fall. Sometimes we're not going to make it. But the Bible tells me here that the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And though he fall, he shall not be cast down. You see, I think about Peter. And I think about how Peter, the Bible says, when he saw Jesus walking on water, all the others kind of freaked out. But Peter said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come. And Peter gets out of the boat. I want to be that guy. I don't want to be one of the 11 sitting in the boat. I want to get out on the water. I want to do something adventurous. I want to ride a KLR 650 with the stupidest, wrongest tires you could ever ride. I want to be somebody who's getting out of the boat. I don't want to play it safe. I don't want same-o. I don't want beige. I don't want mediocrity. I don't want average. I want to get out. I want to make a difference. But sometimes, no matter how good the effort is, I'm going to mess up. I haven't made my best mistakes yet, church. And we've got to have room in our thinking that, listen, you can't live a life with a fear of failure. You got to understand that actually part of doing life is going to be, though he fall, he shall not be cast down. And what I love about this verse, look at it in the New Testament. Peter gets out, walks on the water, takes his eyes off of Jesus, notices the wind, notices the storm, and he begins to sink. But I love it. The Lord upholds him with his hand. Can I tell you, if you've made a God step and you've stepped out to do something and you fell over, can I tell you, God's not there shaming you. He's there. He's going to pick you up and you're going to keep on walking in Jesus' name. Amen. That's the kind of person I want to be. Look at this one. I love this one. Job chapter 13. This one's deep. Are you ready for this one? Just turn to the person next to you and say, this is for you, not me. Job says, of course, we all know who Job was, don't we? He went through the most unimaginable pain and suffering, loss and tragedy of his children, his livestock, his farm, his livelihood, everything. His own personal being was afflicted with sores and sicknesses. His breath was putrid. He had boils and sores, and he just looked just jacked up. And the Bible says here that he says, Job says, in the middle of all this adversity, listen to what he said. Though he slay me, yet will I hope in him. I will surely defend my ways to his face. Watch this. Indeed, I love it. Indeed, this will turn out for my deliverance. For no godless person would dare come before him. See, Job has this thing. Though he slay me, I will still trust in him. It may be I feel like all of heaven and earth is against me, but one thing I will do, I will trust in him. And he goes, indeed, this will turn out for my deliverance. When was the last time you said indeed to life's adversities and you said, this will turn out for my deliverance? This will be the key to my breakthrough. This will be the answer to getting through to the other side. Come on, you gotta have an indeed inside of you. You gotta be able to consider it pure joy knowing something in Jesus' name. Amen. Indeed. I love that. Everybody say indeed. Okay, sixth scripture. You ready for this? Oh, this one, you're not gonna like this one. Do you want me to skip this one? You're not gonna like it. I'm just gonna warn you now. Okay, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time. Who can say amen to that? But painful. Who can really say amen to that? I got to tell you, who's ever been disciplined? Anybody here ever been disciplined? Oh, okay, the rest of you are a pack of liars. All right, who's ever been disciplined? And it's painful at the time, isn't it? It's not fun. Do you know when your parents say, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you? And you go, I always, when my parents said that, I used to say, well, then hit yourself. Can I tell you, the Bible says here, look at it, watch it one more time. It says, I want you to catch it. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those, watch this, who are being trained by it. Can I tell you that when God disciplines you, he's actually training you. Amen. It's like training wheels, which is what I needed on my motorcycle yesterday. Number seven, this one I'm not ready to say yet, but I aspire to be able to say it. Paul, he's writing to Timothy, and he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Here is the Apostle Paul toward the end of his life, toward the end of his ministry. And what a great thing that he didn't give up and lose heart in the middle of it. Thank God he didn't quit, but he said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I aspire to that verse. I'm still 56. I'm young. I still got a lot of future inside of me. But that's the verse I aspire to in the name of Jesus. Number eight, look at this one. You're going to love this one. It says in Psalm 146, verse 8, these are scriptures. I'm telling you, what I'm preaching to you, I have preached to myself over the last 37 years. Look at it. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are weighed down. You ever felt like, man, this is so heavy, I just don't know if I'm going to be able to get up. I don't know if I can pull myself up from this one. But can I tell you something? You don't need to pull yourself up. But the Bible says the Lord lifts the weight off of you. The Lord picks you up in Jesus' name. Number nine, oh, listen to this. If ever there was a verse that I could relate to in terms of life's challenges and ministry and pastoring, listen to this verse. Psalm 118, verse 13. I was pushed hard so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. How many... Thank God that the Lord will help you. And here is the writer of Psalms. I was pushed hard, and the pushing was so hard that I was falling. But the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my strong, and He has become my salvation. Can I tell you something? You are never so far gone that God cannot see you. God cannot help you. And you may feel like you've been pushed hard. You may feel like you've been knocked down. But I've come this morning to tell somebody, get up again. And if you knock down again, get up again. And if you get knocked down again, you get up again. And if you get knocked down, you get up again. And you may feel like you've been pushed so hard so that you fell and you didn't think you were going to be able to get up. But the Lord is your help in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody give God some praise. My time is up. I got to finish with my last verse. Is this okay? You got time for one more verse? Come on, you want one more verse? Hey, these verses I'm preaching to you, I didn't just find them on some Google search. They're in my heart. I've lived these verses my whole life. This is what's kept me keeping the faith for as long as I have in the name of Jesus. And I believe by God's will and God's grace, it will continue to sustain me. And I'll be able to look back over my life like the Apostle Paul at a time when I'm 95 years of age and I'm thinking about maybe going to heaven. And I can say, I've fought the good fight. I've run my race. I've kept the faith. Look at this one. Going the extra mile. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We are pressed or pressured on every way, in every way, but not crushed. Oh, there's some pressing. Come on. There's some pressing. There's some pressing. Life will press on you. But listen to what Paul says. Yeah, I'm not in denial. I'm being pressed. But I'm not crushed. Listen to it. Perplexed, but I'm not in despair. I don't know what to do. I'm perplexed, but I've not lost hope. There's a reason for the pressing. There's a reason for the perplexities of life. It's because you're doing something for God, and if you weren't, you wouldn't face the pressing. You're right in the middle of the will of God. Listen to this. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Oh, there's persecution, but God is always with me. They may be against me. The enemy might be out for me, but I'm not abandoned. We are struck down, but not destroyed. I've come to tell somebody here today in Wave Church, get up again. 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 Jesus said to the man laying by a pool for 38 years, get up, pick up your mat and walk. I want you to hear it. You're either up, you're getting up, or you're walking. Amen. You're either up, you're getting up, or you're walking in Jesus' name. Listen to what Paul said. Oh, I love it. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Perplexed, but not in despair. Pressed, but I'm not crushed. Look at me, my friend. You're still standing. You're here by the grace of God. I want to pray for people here this morning. And that message is for you. That is water to your soul. That is a word in season for you. I had somebody come up to me after the 9 o'clock service. And he told me, he goes, you have no idea what has been going on in my life. And he goes, and he started telling me. And I could hear him as he was talking. He was beginning to put himself right back into the situation. Then all of a sudden, he looked up at me and says, but I'm getting back up. He caught himself, but I'm getting back up. I'm not giving up. I don't know. Maybe it's with people. Maybe it's in your business. Maybe it's this dream you've got. It seems like the longer you live, the further you're getting away from your dream. But indeed, this will turn out for my deliverance. I count it pure joy, knowing that the testing of my faith produces perseverance, and perseverance, when it's finished, means I will be complete and not lacking in anything. If that's a word for you, I want you to put your hand in the air. I want to pray for you. Come on, all over the building. If that's a word for you, come on. That's it. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Come on. Just put it up. Father, you see every hand. I'm believing right here, right now, this morning, for that word to go deep in people's hearts. Father, I'm believing in the name of Jesus for the extra mile. I'm believing, Lord, today that your word will not return to you void. It's going to go deep into the heart and into the spirit and into the soul of every man and every woman in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Come on, I know we've clapped, but let's thank God for the word this morning. Amen. Get up, get up, get up, get up. Get up, get up, get up, get up. Go the extra mile. You're either up, you're getting up, or you're walking in the name of Jesus. The Lord upholds you. Somebody had better find something to give God praise for. Get on your feet this morning and praise Him. Come on. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. You're walking out of here a winner. You're walking out of here with Jesus, and He's walking with you. Come on. You may be weighed down, but the Lord reaches out to you and He holds you. Don't sit down. Don't give up. Don't draw back. I tell you why I do it. I do it for my children. I do it for my children's children, and I do it for the generations. I don't want to be on the ash heap. I don't want to be on the list of people who gave up. Amen. Look at me now as I close. I'm going to get Josh to come in just a moment. He'll close the service. But as I finish my message, I want to pray for you this morning. Everybody online, I think 9,000 people every Sunday tune in to watch Wave Church all over the world. Not to mention who watches on television, and literally sometimes 90,000 people any week can be watching Wave TV. There's a hunger for the Word. People are looking for hope. People are looking for answers. Amen. You're not going to find it in politics. You're not going to find it in legislation. You're not going to find it just in your job and in your marriage. You're not going to find it in your own personal pursuit of just happiness for yourself. You're going to find it in Jesus. Could I pray for you? Look at me, look at me. Could I pray for you? Do you know Jesus? Are you a Christian? Have you ever had an encounter with Jesus for yourself? Not because your parents believed in God, not because you got a friend who's a Christian, not because you just believe in God, but have you ever had a life-changing encounter with Jesus? I'd love to pray for you. Matter of fact, this morning there are people here under the sound of my voice, and you know today you're away from God. You once were living for God, but I read that verse, I was pressed so hard I fell over. But I want to tell you, the Lord's here to pick you back up again. Come on back to Jesus. Get up. Get your oil. Start living for God all over again. Who's believing with me? People, as we stand in this auditorium, people watching online, come on. People at Seaboard Road are going to make a decision. We're already standing. I'm not going to ask you to stand. We're all already doing it. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I am going to ask you, if you say, Steve, you are talking to me. Steve, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want you to do one simple thing. I just want you to take your hand in a moment when we pray. I just want you to put it up in the air, high enough and long enough, just so I can see it, so I can pray for you. You came to church today. You are wanting God, and I'm telling you, He's here. All you got to do is lift your hand and say, Steve, I need Jesus. Steve, I want to get right with God. I'll pray for you. Is that okay? Come on, all over the building. Close your eyes. Bow your heads. Let's be in prayer. And friend, if that is you, and I am talking to you, and you say, Steve, pray for me. Steve, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to get right with God. Would you lift your hand right now? God bless you. God bless you. Who else would just lift it up high enough and long enough? There's two hands right there. There's two hands right there. There's another hand right there. Who else? Well, lift your hands right there. There's another hand. Come on, keep lifting them. Keep lifting them all over the building. Thank you. I see that hand as well. Who else would just lift your hand? Give it a wave if I haven't seen it. I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. God bless you up the very back there. Thank you. I see those two hands. Thank you. I see that hand right up the back over there. Amen. Right over there on my far left, I see that hand. My last call. If you haven't lifted it, but you know you should, lift it now. Lift it. Lift it. That's it. God bless you. Church, let's give God a hand for every single person. Amen. People say, man, this church sure claps a lot. We got so much to be thankful for. We have so much to thank God for. Can we all pray a prayer? Everybody out loud, especially you who lifted your hand. Let's all pray together. Lord Jesus, I ask you today to come into my life, to forgive me of my sins. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, I'm now a Christian. And everybody said, amen and amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Pastor Steve Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Steve at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.